Hi, everyone, and welcome to Cloud Junkie, the no PowerPoint cloud show. We promise there will be no PowerPoints shown. And if you can't stay for the whole podcast, no worries. You can catch us on Spotify and listen to it while you're on the spin bike or driving in the car or even going for a jog outside. So today's podcast is titled Cloud Migration. You're doing it wrong. We have a lot of use cases and we have a lot of historical knowledge about the good, the bad, and the ugly around cloud migrations. And we know that you all really want to hear about the ugly. So pardon us while we focus on the ugly, but also give you some information about what you can do so that it won't be ugly. So Michelle and Lee are on this call. And why don't you guys briefly tell us what you do? Michelle, sure. I'm going to start with you. Or Lee.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle Pinto here. I manage our software and cloud analytics team here in the US. And what we're all about is helping customers optimize and drive out costs. We do that for on-prem, but mainly now in the cloud. How do we help you really optimize and make sure that you're just paying for what you need and driving out all of that excess costs? And I'm coming to you from sunny San Diego.
Fantastic. Right. And how about you, Lee?
Yeah. So hello, everyone. My name's Lee Williams. I'm based in Dallas, Texas. I am the director of our innovation pre-sales organization. So our team is really divided into three core areas. We focus on data projects and transforming your business. We work in the cloud platform, working with Michelle's team to provide an environment that's scalable, manageable, and well architected to avoid all of those unwanted costs that Michelle talks about trying to cost save. So our job is to help provide you with an environment that is well put together and easily managed. And then lastly, we have our managed modern workplace team who are primarily focused on helping all of those customers out there today that are dealing with COVID, working from home, etc., putting an environment together like this where we can interact in teams with identity, security, and all of those things put around that. So that's what we do.
Very cool. So Michelle, first question to you, how many customers or companies do you figure that you've helped through sort of that optimizing their cloud migration in your lifetime?
Wow. I'd say hundreds, Leslie. I can't pin down a number for you, but we've done a lot of them, hundreds of them. And, you know, you mentioned something about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And one of the ugly, like I'd like to say, and where we see the most train wreck or difficult situations is when customers think they can do this by themselves, that they know that it's going to be easy. It's not, it's complex. And if you don't do it right, if you don't optimize, if you don't have a plan and a strategy for moving to the cloud, you are going to incur costs that you don't need. So what we typically recommend and what we do with customers is let us come in, let us assess and evaluate what that on-prem environment looks like, and let's help you with that migration strategy. Let's take a look at the licensing as well, and how do we help you bring the licensing into your cloud, whether it be Azure or AWS, taking advantage of benefits like hybrid use rights on Azure side, taking advantage of BYOL, reserved instances, which you can do in multi-cloud, with the end goal to make sure that you're optimized and that you're reducing costs in the cloud, right? You don't want to go from on-prem to the cloud thinking that you're going to save, and in the end, you're not saving anything, you're just incurring more costs. So let's do the analysis first. Let's help you optimize, right-size, and then do the migration so that you're getting those benefits from the optimized and the licensing aspects.
So I have to admit, I thought I knew a lot about Microsoft licensing, but then I met Michelle and I decided that I could actually purge that file cabinet from my brain because I no longer needed to know anything about Microsoft licensing because Michelle is probably one of the premier experts in the United States on how to make the most of your Microsoft licensing entitlements. And so when I have a licensing question, I just call Michelle and she's amazing there. I have a true or false, thanks for that. And I too have seen some cost train wrecks in moving to the cloud where they think I'm gonna do this myself. I'm gonna save money. And the opposite happens because they haven't engaged with a partner. I have a true or false question for both of you guys. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
True or false? The one thing that most customers do wrong in a cloud migration is choose a single cloud platform. Is that true or false? You think that's the number one thing that people do wrong?
I think that's false, Leslie. I'd say the number one thing that people do wrong is going back to what I mentioned. They don't plan. They don't optimize prior to moving to the cloud. That is where they have to start with that. They have to start with the optimization, with the planning, and then migrating to the cloud.
So it's funny you should mention that. So I was just reading an article. It's actually from InfoWorld. And you could just go Google InfoWorld, 5 ways your cloud migration may fail. And it literally says the number one failure is lack of a good partner. So many people branch out, try to do it themselves. And you have to vet your cloud partner, right? You have to make sure that from soup to nuts, your partner knows everything about not just the technical aspects of cloud migrations. And if you're listening to this podcast, hoping that someone's gonna tell you step by step how to technically do a cloud migration, that's not what this is about, because that's not the most important thing, right? The most important thing is that you do in fact, plan and adapt and find a partner to help you. So I have another question, and this is a tough one. You aren't going to like it. I'm going to warn you right now. How much does a cloud migration cost?
Wow, Lee, I'll send that one over to you.
Oh, really?
So look, when people are searching for information, that's the one piece of information they always want to know, right? I mean, does it cost $100 or does it cost $300,000? And we're not looking to pin you down to an absolute, but it helps people who are trying to migrate sort of take that first step in planning if they can just get some idea of cost.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, right? It typically depends on what the customer is looking to migrate. But more importantly is, going back to what Michelle just referenced is have you identified the stakeholders? Have you identified the transformation that you're going to do in your business by moving from on-premise into the cloud? Have you identified what type of performance you're looking for when you get to the cloud, right? So there's tons of different models that can be done. And that's where it comes back to that well-architected environment. So when we look at what's traditionally been done in on-premises, it was, racks and racks and racks with servers, storage, networking, et cetera, right? It was a fixed asset with a fixed cost, and it was a bloated cost because it was supposed to last you until you paid off the asset. In the cloud, we're in a scalable environment, right? So to Michelle's point, we can optimize the environment. We don't just want to forklift, right? We want to look at the application. We want to look at how the application is performing in the environment, how it's used. Is there seasonal adoption stuff like HR benefits adoption, right? When am I signing up for my benefits and all those things? Those things really spike up an infrastructure and an environment. And so being able to take that, put that into a well-architected review, leverage stuff like RIs, right? Reserved instances, right? Where we know that an infrastructure is peaking a lot higher, whereas, you know, some areas it's, you know, hardly used. So when you formulate all of that and understand what you're moving, that enables us to very, very closely put in place a governance and optimization strategy that when we move it into the environment, it's a well-oiled machine, right? Versus just taking what you had, dumping it into a cloud platform, and then you start seeing those spiraling costs.
Good answer. So how much does that cost, Lee?
All depends. I wish we could just throw a number at you, but it all depends on what you're doing. The most important part is not the cost as much as avoiding the costs that come from a very poor implementation.
Good point. So if we want to talk about actual cost versus cost avoidance, can you talk about a scenario where cost avoidance helped an end customer not spend an amount of money and what that amount of money that they didn't spend was? How about that?
You know, Michelle, good question for you.
So we've had quite a few situations, Leslie, where we have done optimization, cost optimization on customers, helping customers, you know, find those costs and drive those out of the organization. And typically what we're seeing on our customers when we help them with that optimization is roughly 20 to 23%. We just recently worked on a customer here in the US that was achieving over, he was consuming over $500,000 a year within his Azure spend. And we came back with recommendations to be able to reduce that by 20%. We looked at areas, going back to what I mentioned, when he moved to the cloud, he didn't take advantage of benefits like BYOL. Hybrid use benefits, right? He didn't look at his dev test pricing. So we were able to find cost savings on dev test, bringing in reserved instances for those VMs that are running 24/7, allocating them correctly. Cost avoidance, we do sometimes see customers that are allocating reserved instances to virtual machines that aren't doing 24/7. Some of them are running once, twice, three times a week. So remove reserved instances from those and allocate to those VMs that really do need reserved instances. That is a cost avoidance. Dev test, like I mentioned, reducing pricing there, and BYOL. So those were the four areas that we were able to help that customer reduce 20% of his overall annual consumption.
Yeah, I'm slow at math. What does that look like if you helped him save 20% and he was spending $500,000 a year? What did he save in that year?
It was roughly just a little over $100,000, Leslie.
Nice. That's fantastic. Okay, well, cool. That answered that question. So going back to my InfoWorld article, they talk about, and Lee, you mentioned this, not bringing in stakeholders. So Here's what we sometimes see in organizations. I know you see this, is a company will say, okay, IT department, go ahead and work on your cloud migration from a technical standpoint. And then they execute the cloud migration in a bubble, and they have failed to bring in stakeholders and taken into consideration how it affects the business as a whole, right? A lot of applications running on premises are super hogs. They use a lot of resources. And then when you get those to the cloud, to make sure that, Michelle, your cloud spend doesn't balloon out of control, there are a lot of things that can change. So how would you advise the IT department, if undergoing a cloud migration, to make sure that they bring in stakeholders? How would you help them in that endeavor to ensure that they're covering all their bases and maybe making the stakeholders think it's their idea? That's always a great way to tackle that issue.
I can take this one if you want, Michelle.
Yeah.
So this really ties into a governance strategy, right? So every organization has a has, whether they're on premise or going to the cloud, has a governance strategy, right? So what do we do in the event of a disaster recovery? What do we do in the event of, you know, payroll being down? How do we turn that back up? How do we do these different things, right? How do we manage legal holds, right? That information that's key to the company, that we need to make sure that we've got a consistent ability to get our hands on, right? So these are all stakeholders, right? So it's legal, it's, you know, different areas of the organization that you're going to impact. You're going to make a change in how they've done their business, right? There's, you know, workflows, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really understanding that they need to be a part of the conversation up front and understand what you're going to do. And they need to continue on that journey, right? So everything that you do, you should have those stakeholders be a part of that. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely. And what would you advise for those sort of IT entities where the rest of the leadership says, hey, no, just handle it, just take care of it? Any advice to help those people actually get that sort of buy-in and input?
Again, I think it comes down to risk, right? So as an IT organization, whenever you're running a project, be it a cloud migration, be it on premise, you're always wanting to identify what are my risks and who are the stakeholders. So I would push back. I would push back and make sure that you're identifying those risk areas and what that potential impact is. Because ultimately, you know, whether IT's just handed a big bucket of money every year and, you know, no one's watching what they're spending, which I don't think is a reality, or those stakeholders are there because, you know, they're providing IT with that budget, right? They care about their part of the business being operational, being able to function. Those are risk areas, and those are things that the organization need to be a part of.
For sure.
Leslie, I just add something to what Lee said? So risk is very important, yes, but I think a cloud partner like Crayon, how we can help is also by identifying the reward. So yes, there is risk, but there is reward. So how do we help those stakeholders, the IT teams, to identify what that reward is going to be in terms of optimization and cost savings overall? And that is going to help, together with the risk and reward, pitch it up to the CIO level and get input for the migration and the optimization.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think once the stakeholders understand the efficiency gains with going to the cloud, they're willing to invest the time in governance as well as financially, right?
Very good. I have one last question, and then we're going to close this out. And if you're listening to this and you would like more information on the technical aspects of moving to the cloud, hit us up at crayon.com/cloudjunkie, and please feel free to ask questions or let us know what you'd like to see in future episodes. And so here's my parting question. What would you say to the service desk engineers and software experts and security ops who are a little bit afraid for a move to the cloud that they may become obsolete? What would you say to them in a hybrid cloud migration or full cloud migration project? Get a new job? Go back to school?
No,
absolutely not.
I mean, we can argument them. So a cloud provider will argument them, right? And they can focus on driving the business, other initiatives. So it's not like they become obsolete. Lee?
I would say that service desk person, et cetera, you know, where the environment resides and lives, it's organic, it continues to grow and change, and you're always going to be needed in that organization to help manage that environment and grow it.
Fantastic. Lee and Michelle, thank you so much for participating in our premiere episode of Cloud Junkie. Cloud Migration, You're Doing It Wrong. Please do go to our landing page at crayon.com/cloudjunkie, and we will see you next time on our Cloud Junkie video podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.